Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Happy to have you with us on this Thursday, December the 27th. It's coming up on 10 minutes past 8 o'clock. Hope you had a wonderful Christmas and are looking forward to the new year. My health resolution for the new year is to cut down on sugar and refined carbs and bad fats. And good thing that I have a few more days before I have to start, since I just ate 2 leftover Christmas cookies that someone brought in from work today or from home today. We do, though, care a lot about our health and seeking the best treatments to maintain our health or finding the best medical choices or alternative home remedies, perhaps, when our health is off the mark. So we will be talking about our health and leading a healthier lifestyle for 2008 with our two guests today. And I am happy to welcome with us Joe Graydon and Terry Graydon, who you know as the co-hosts of The People's Pharmacy, heard every Saturday on the Ideas Network at 6 in the morning and then again at 2 in the afternoon. And you can talk to Joe and Terry Graydon by calling 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Joe and Terry have researched many medical treatments and home remedies and complementary practices. They talk to a wide variety of guest experts every week on their radio program. They have amassed an amazing collection of home and herbal remedies from listeners like you. They are the authors of many, many books. Their latest book is Best Choices from the People's Pharmacy. And we are happy to have them join us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning, Joy. It's a pleasure to talk with you.
Hi, Joy.
So I'm on a little bit of a sugar high right now because I had these Christmas cookies, and I left out the fudge. I also had a piece of fudge. But you know what? Fudge had walnuts in it. That's good, huh?
Yeah, walnuts are very good. Fudge maybe a little less so. we're big proponents of chocolate, particularly dark chocolate, but fudge has got a fair amount of sugar in it.
And it's a little early in the morning.
You know what, though? I get up at 2 in the morning, so this is like, you know, lunch hour at least for me.
Mid-morning snack.
Yeah, so, well, let's talk a little bit about what have been some of the bigger health and medical stories of the year, do you think, when it comes to breakthroughs?
Well, you know, actually, that is the story.
Mm-hmm.
There haven't been any. I mean, that's the real tragedy. You know, we have spent so much money on pharmaceutical development over the last 20 years, and we spend a lot on our prescription drugs because the pharmaceutical industry tells us if you just spend a lot of money on our medicine, well, we're going to deliver. We're going to get you, you know, breakthroughs for cancer and Alzheimer's disease and all kinds of other diseases that affect us.
Well, of course, they don't tell you that right when you're paying the bill at the drugstore, which anyone who has done that realizes that it's pretty darn high. But when people start complaining about how high those bills are, that's when the pharmaceutical industry says, oh, but we are using that money to develop fabulous new medications.
And we just haven't seen them this year. I mean, it's been really kind of shocking and disappointing. Now, I will tell you that there is an interesting drug that we actually predicted was going to be approved last year called Rimonabant. It was sold in Europe as Acomplia.
It is still sold there.
To help you lose weight, lower your blood sugar, and lower your cholesterol, so you get 3-for-1. It sounds great. The problem is that the Food and Drug Administration has not approved it in this country, largely because of some side effects that have them concerned.
Well, it turns out this medication is fascinating because it works on receptors in the brain that otherwise actually work on marijuana. So we have endogenous cannabinoid receptors in our brains. Who knew? But it explains why people respond the way they do when they smoke pot.
And as a result, this drug, which looks to be so exciting, I mean, who wouldn't want a drug that could lower your weight, improve your blood sugar, and help you lower cholesterol, but it does seem to make people depressed, at least some people, and some others anxious.
Yeah.
And so as a result, it's not been approved here. That was the one big breakthrough we were hoping for, but sadly, it's not available.
Yeah. Well, let's talk a little bit about losing that weight, which is a common New Year's resolution. And what, if anything, it doesn't have to be a pharmaceutical, but maybe even a home remedy or something else that shows some promise?
Well, actually, we do think that your approach, which is to drop the refined mm-hmm. carbohydrates, is a really good place to start. It appears, the more we learn about this, the more it appears that insulin has something to do with weight gain. Now, we all need insulin. It's absolutely critical for our health and our functioning. But a lot of us get too much blood sugar, too much response from that sugar and cookies and crackers that we may be eating. And as a result, our insulin climbs too high and pushes too much fat into storage.
So the usual breakfast that Americans think is so healthy, which is like maybe cereal and a glass of orange juice and maybe a banana, well, that is going to really push your blood sugar levels up pretty fast. And along with that comes the insulin, and along with that comes the fat. So we probably would do better to follow Grandma's old mm-hmm. advice, and that is to get a little protein with our breakfast.
Yeah, so my shredded wheat with skim milk and some fruit, that's not so bad. That's better than the fudge, anyway.
It's definitely better than the fudge, and the shredded wheat is a whole grain,
mm-hmm.
so that part's okay, but you're not getting quite enough protein, probably. One of the things that Joe and I do for our breakfast is we'll often have a breakfast of a slice of whole wheat toast and a serving of cottage cheese.
Yeah.
Or we'll have a piece of fish on that whole wheat toast.
But there really isn't a supplement or a vitamin or something out there that's going to help us shed those extra pounds.
No, there is a totally untested home remedy that we have heard about recently. But so far, it has an N of one.
Yes.
So it's really not something we can say is going to work for anybody else.
Well, it's Lisa's Magic Elixir. And we made a terrible mistake a couple of weeks ago by mentioning it in our newspaper column. And then we received dozens, if not hundreds, of responses. So what exactly is that Magic Elixir?
Mm-hmm.
Well, it's lime juice. It's cinnamon. And
right.
It's apple cider vinegar.
And a few other things as well. She puts in also a green tea, decaffeinated green tea extract, and some unsweetened juice. And, you know, it's all kind of complicated.
Well, the thing that makes it interesting is that cinnamon does indeed seem to help control blood sugar.
And so does vinegar.
And so does vinegar. And now, these home remedies have actually been tested in very decent scientific trials. And so if you get a little of the vinegar and a little bit of the cinnamon before that high-carb breakfast or lunch or dinner, it may control your insulin levels a little bit, which may indeed help control weight.
Now, what Lisa says is, she says, I suspect I'm insulin resistant, and that's why it's working for me. It has worked for her. She's dropped 30 pounds over the last 6 months.
She's going to be a millionaire if this...
Well, unfortunately, we let the cat out of the bag without having her monetize it.
Yeah.
So.
What about? I'm just kind of talking about some of the common New Year's resolutions. Anything out there in terms of a home remedy that helps ease the pain of those who want to quit smoking?
Well, actually, I was sort of hoping you'd ask about smoking, because on the CBS Evening News last night, there was a very interesting piece on Chantix, C-H-A-N-T-I-X, which is a relatively new prescription drug, oral medicine, that seems to take away the cravings to smoke rather dramatically. And if anybody is watching the National Football League on television, or even picking up Time or Newsweek or any of those magazines, you will see ads for Chantix. But last night on the CBS Evening News, they mentioned depression. And we have heard from dozens of people at our website that some people who take Chantix to stop smoking, although they're successful in quitting cigarettes, they have developed very serious depression and even in some cases suicidal thoughts.
So people who are determined to stop smoking may want to talk to their doctors about Chantix. But they definitely need to keep in mind that if they start to become depressed, it is very likely to be a side effect of the medication, which they then should stop and get back in touch with the physician.
We are talking with Joe and Terry Graydon, creators and hosts of The People's Pharmacy, which is heard every Saturday on the Ideas Network at 6 in the morning and 2 in the afternoon. They are the authors of many books, including Best Choices from The People's Pharmacy. 1-800-642-1234, our toll-free number, if you would like to ask them a question about home and herbal remedies, pharmaceutical treatments, over-the-counter drugs. 263-1890 if you're in Madison, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We talk with them about our health as we gear up for a healthier 2008. They will help us with our New Year's resolutions for 2008 when it comes to our health. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. Happy to have you along on this Thursday, December the 27th. Coming up this afternoon, Jean Purcell in for Ben Marins. Talking after 5 o'clock with a guest who examines the cost of the presidential campaigns and wonders if it might make more sense to outsource the manufacture of American politics. Well, that's interesting. Jean scheduled to talk with Lewis Lapham from Harper's Magazine after 5 o'clock this afternoon. We are talking about our health this hour and getting some advice from Joe and Terry Graydon. Joe Graydon is a pharmacologist. Terry Graydon is a medical anthropologist. They are creators and hosts of The People's Pharmacy, which is heard weekends on the Ideas Network every Saturday at 6 in the morning and again at 2 in the afternoon. They are the authors of columns and several books. Their latest book is Best Choices from The People's Pharmacy. And they're here to share some of the best advice that they have received from The People's Pharmacy listeners. So we're talking some about home remedies, herbal remedies, talking some about pharmaceutical treatments and over-the-counter drugs. And we again welcome your questions for them at 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890, or talk@wpr.org. Joe and Terry Graydon join us from their studios in Chapel Hill, North Carolina. Good morning.
Yeah, hi, Joy.
Hi, Joy.
It worked
We're
better.
Right here.
Yeah, there
yes.
we go.
We just climbed right into your studio via the special phone connection.
That's right. First, we had you on a regular telephone line, and now we have you on the fancy telephone line known as the ISDN, and you sound much better. So thanks again for taking time to talk with our listeners. Before we go to the phones, I did want to talk a little bit about something personal. My husband, a very healthy, seemingly healthy man in his mid-50s, very athletic all his life, took good care of himself, eats well, didn't really smoke, a tiny bit back when he was in the military, but not very long. We got a real scare a couple of months ago. It was discovered that he had had the start of heart disease, and he's being treated very aggressively for heart disease with a statin drug. He's reacting quite well to that. I know side effects can be muscle pains and all that sort of stuff, but I was interested in all the other supplemental treatments. Like he's supposed to be on a fish oil supplement, and he's under doctor's orders to eat fish 3 times a week, and he's on niacin, so he's being treated quite a bit for that, and it seems to be working. At least his numbers have gone down dramatically.
Well, that's great, and it does sound like a very aggressive treatment. We do want to encourage him to be in really close touch with his doctor, because combining niacin and a statin can increase the risk of muscle reaction, so which would be a bad thing. Otherwise, it's a great way to bring your cholesterol down. Niacin together with fish oil sometimes does it, even without a statin. With the statin on board, it should do a Great job.
One recommendation that we would make, Joy, and that is that he adds something called coenzyme Q10 to his regimen. This is a dietary supplement, a nutrient. Mm-hmm. Your body makes it. And with the aggressive treatment that he is undergoing now, he probably needs somewhere between 1 and 300 milligrams of coenzyme Q10. He should, of course, check in with his cardiologist. But generally speaking, CoQ is very safe and seems to counteract to a certain degree some of the side effects of statins, especially some of the muscle problems.
Mm-hmm. And I learned a lot of that from, I consulted your book, Best Choices from the People's Pharmacy, when we learned his situation and what his doctor wanted to put him on. So I want to thank you for all the information in your book on that.
And we're glad he's doing well, and he should keep that exercise program up, because that also is one of the most important things that he can do for his good health.
In fact, people tend to overlook the importance of exercise, and they say, you know, what should I take? What should I, you know, what supplements, what diet? And exercise has got to be at least as important, probably more important than supplements or even diet, which, too, is very important.
What's interesting, too, though, is that his total cholesterol was really low, and so there really wasn't a concern. But apparently, when you break it down, it wasn't so good, but it was under 150.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Actually, your husband's situation is not that unusual. It sounds bizarre because we think of high cholesterol as being the problem, but very often people start to have problems with normal cholesterol, and that's actually kind of a puzzle as to why a statin would be so helpful.
Well, one of the theories is that the statin-type medications like Lipitor also have anti-inflammatory activity. It's the only way that we can explain the rapid benefits that some people experience in reducing their risk of heart disease and heart attacks and strokes. So in addition to lowering cholesterol, this anti-inflammatory process may also be beneficial, especially in conjunction with the fish oil.
And the niacin is going to be very helpful for raising his good HDL cholesterol, which also might have been too low.
And I guess I would add one last risk factor that cardiologists often overlook, and that's hostility. In other words, we live in a very stressful world. You know, people do nasty things to us, and sometimes we react with anger and frustration and out-and-out hostility. Well, I've never yet seen a cardiologist who has prescribed anger management and stress reduction, but that may be just as important as getting cholesterol under control with a statin-type medicine. So we're not suggesting that your husband is an angry guy. But if
you would know much better than we would.
If he doesn't like waiting in line in the supermarket, that might be a tip-off that he's the kind of guy who probably needs to just chill a bit.
Yeah, you know, we both go to yoga together, so he's
good.
Yeah,
yeah.
Fabulous.
Yeah.
Let's go now. I'll give our callers the rest of the time with the Gradens. Ryan in Onalaska joins us. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, guys. How are you today?
Just fine. How are you, Ryan?
Very good. Very good. I was calling to ask a question about supplements as far as energy goes. I have pretty good levels of energy typically, but in the past, when I power lifted, I used to use ephedra products like Hydroxycut. It would cut my water weights and give me energy. And I did notice that if you took too much of it, you know, you would get rapid heartbeat. They took that off the market. I try certain things. I try to eat as well as I can, but I notice sometimes I don't quite have the energy levels I want during the day. So I've actually started taking ephedrine, which I know also has some sort of nasty side effects, long-term use. Do you guys know of any other sort of supplement, natural or food-wise, that you would recommend on a daily basis to help keep those levels up?
Well, Ryan, you know, we would highly encourage you to discontinue the ephedra or ephedrine or any of those, because these drugs were taken off the market in large measure because they can cause not just irregular heart rhythms, but also heart attacks and strokes. And a lot of people died over the course of the decades that these supplements were on the market. As far as, you know, like the magic pill, everybody wants more energy. But we actually are pretty firm believers that if you cut back on the carbs, if you cut back on the refined, you know, sugars, anything white, you know, and that's just, you know, white sugar,
that includes bread and
pasta and all of that, and add a little protein. So if when you're feeling in a little slump in the middle of the day, if you were to have a handful of walnuts as your nutrient, that could give you kind of a little extra boost. And that may be all you need. And maybe even, you know, a peanut butter sandwich, but cut out the sandwich, just the peanut butter.
Now, Ryan, you sound like a young man. And so the supplement that I'm going to talk about next does not apply to you. But it turns out there's some fascinating research from Italy showing that L-carnitine can actually improve energy and cognition in older people. The research was done in people 100 years old or older.
Wow.
And they measured their ability to walk, their ability to do a cognitive test, and they found that the L-carnitine actually improved it significantly.
Wow.
But as I said, you're not 100 yet.
Yeah.
So
I was going to say,
won't do you any good.
Do we really have to wait until we're 100 before we can try that?
Well, apparently, there are some drops in L-carnitine levels after a person gets to be about 70. So this may be a supplement that really is more helpful for older people rather than for the younger and middle-aged folks.
Yeah. So, Ryan, no ephedrine or whatever it is that you're doing. Jan in Delafield, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning. I always appreciate these guests. I have chronic tinnitus. I've read about something called lipoflavonoids, which is roundly condemned on every place I've seen on the internet, but there's also something called vinpocetino or something like that. I'm wondering if you know anything about its effectiveness.
Well, Jen, I have to tell you, I suffer from tinnitus myself. Being in the radio biz and hanging out in radio stations, you know, every once in a while you can get feedback, and that happened to me many years ago. It was probably a decibel level that was like a jet plane taking off inside my head, and ever since I've suffered from tinnitus, which is ringing in the ears. And there are times when it can be extraordinarily uncomfortable. As far, you know, we actually have a chapter in our book, Best Choices from the People's Pharmacy, on tinnitus. And we did a lot of searching to see, well, you know, is there any data out there? And surprisingly, there is a little data, not a lot of data. But first of all, we'd want to make sure that you're not taking any drugs that can cause ringing in the ears. And that would include almost any of the anti-inflammatories.
Starting with aspirin.
But even ibuprofen can do it. There is some data to suggest that a drug called Cytotec, C-Y-T-O-T-E-C, that's the brand name. It's also sold under the generic name Misoprostol. And this is a drug that's been approved by the FDA for preventing stomach ulcers, especially when people are taking those anti-inflammatory drugs like ibuprofen. Well, an off-label use may suggest that Cytotec can work for tinnitus.
Now, vinpocetine is not available as a pharmaceutical in this country, but it's approved as a pharmaceutical in some other places.
Yeah, so people get it over the web.
It's used for cognitive dysfunction. Is that it, Joe?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, but
basically,
I have
for Alzheimer's disease, we don't know if it even works very well for that, and we have not seen any research on whether or not it would help for tinnitus.
Not a lot of data on melatonin and ginkgo biloba, another herbal product, but there is some suggestions that they may be beneficial. And finally, you know what they have now, Jen? They have hearing aids that have built into them masking devices for people with tinnitus, and some people have told us that they really work very well. Unfortunately, they're also pretty pricey. So there are a couple of strategies, but we're not that excited about the vinpocetine that you mentioned.
Could you spell Cytotec in the other one, please?
Ooh. Sure. It's C-Y-T-O-T-E-C, Cytotec. Your pharmacist will tell you if it's available generically. It will require a prescription, and I have to tell you, there are some side effects, so you'll want to talk to your doctor about it.
Good luck, Jan. Art in Port Edwards is with us now. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi. I've wanted to talk to Joe and Terry for a long time.
Hi, Art.
Hi. I will be eternally grateful to you two for wising me up on celiac disease, and I'll tell you why. In 2005, I had a strangled bowel and had to have a bowel resection and lost 14 feet of my small bowel. Following that, I had diarrhea 24/7 until a couple of weeks later, it just happened that I had a couple of meals that rice was the carbohydrate material that I ate, and the diarrhea sort of eased off. And having heard, I think it's Dr. Peter Green, is it, from Columbia, on your program talking about celiac disease, a light bulb lit up, and I said, I wonder if I'm gluten intolerant. So I went gluten-free, and I cured the diarrhea. And I also cured two other conditions that I had all my life, which makes me think I had celiac disease in a sort of a hidden
way. What were they?
I had one canker sore after another, and I had a whole lot of GERD. And since I went gluten-free, both of those things have gone away. And now, thank you.
Well, Art, you're welcome. We're delighted you're doing so well. Did you ever discuss this with your physician?
Oh, yes. I've talked with them about it.
Good.
And they have not confirmed celiac disease because when I went gluten-free, I went symptom-free. And,
right.
And so, you know, they can't. And I'm not about to go and
challenge.
Yeah. I like it the
way
it is.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, you're better, yeah. And there is some blood work that can be done to determine if you do have this celiac disease, Joe or Terry?
There is a blood test that will help. It's not absolutely 100% definitive, but it can be quite helpful, and it's called the TTG, tissue transglutaminase.
And for the listeners who are going, what the heck are they talking about, Joy? Basically, there are people, it turns out, a lot more than most physicians were taught in medical school. It may be as common as...
It's possible that it's certainly probably 1 in 200. It may be more common than that, 1 in 120. If you have a relative with celiac disease, your chances may actually skyrocket up to 1 in 60 or 1 in 20.
And that means millions of people in this country have celiac disease and may not even know it. They're intolerant to gluten, which is a protein found in, Terry, help me here, wheat.
Wheat, barley, rye.
Rye. And you will find that they're in a lot of things, including some medications as binders and fillers.
And by the way, a lot of times we don't look for gluten or wheat in things that, you know, are not like breadstuffs. But you have to check your soy sauce, for example, because soy is often made with wheat.
And we call it the great... What is it?
The great imposter. Celiac disease, because it can affect so many different parts of the body. It can produce a horrible rash that you know is very puzzling unless the dermatologist knows exactly what to look for.
It can cause a lot of digestive tract upset, just the way Art experienced.
But it can also cause nervous system problems, including memory issues, including. By the way, we were talking about fatigue. It can really cause fatigue. It can cause headaches. It can cause a lot of issues that you wouldn't necessarily associate with the digestive tract.
In fact,
and osteoporosis.
Anyone who has anemia, really severe anemia that's hard to diagnose, when the doctor goes, boy, you are so anemic, and I don't know why, that would be a tip-off to be tested for celiac disease. So, Art, we're delighted to hear that you've made such progress, and we're glad that we could be part of the process.
And the treatment for this is just avoid gluten. Is that it?
The treatment for it, absolutely, is a very, very rigorous diet that simply does not include any wheat, barley, or rye, or any products related to wheat, barley, or rye. And it is now becoming possible to read labels and avoid those products. And there are more and more products available for people who are gluten intolerant.
Yeah. Thanks for calling, Art, and good luck to you. Tom and Stoddard, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, Joe and Terry and Joy. I was wondering, had you heard about the book by Stephen Herod Buhner about Healing Lyme. Healing Lyme is the title, Lyme disease.
We're not familiar with that one.
I'm sorry?
Don't worry about the book. What's your question about Lyme disease?
Well, I don't have a question. I just wanted to mention that I had gotten a Lyme bite, and I showed it to my chiropractor because I had an appointment with him, and he said, you better go have that checked out. I went to the physician, and he would not give me a test. He said he wouldn't give me a test unless I was down sick in bed. With a foot in diameter, bright cherry red infection site, and he said it's all overblown. And just at about that time, I'd seen this book about healing Lyme, and I snapped it up, and I found it extremely interesting. The first half of the book explains how the organism attacks your body.
Yeah, and Lyme disease comes from a tick, an infected tick bite, and I've always heard that it can be treated with antibiotics. Is there anything else, Joe or Terry, when it comes to treating Lyme disease?
No, I think that's the appropriate treatment.
Yeah.
And really, a lot of ticks that bite you don't necessarily carry a, a disease. Some of them do.
And I think we would probably take some exception with Tom's physician. Not everybody who is bit by a tick and comes down with Lyme disease has that familiar, what's called the bullseye, skin rash. Some people don't even know they were bit by a tick because these ticks are really tiny. And so if somebody begins to experience Lyme disease-like symptoms, the arthritis, the cognitive dysfunction, they should absolutely be tested for Lyme.
Now, the medical profession has been debating whether or not there's such a thing as, quote, chronic Lyme disease, and they sort of don't think there is, but certainly they don't question the fact that there is Lyme disease and that it should be treated when it's a problem.
We are talking with Terry and Joe Graydon, who are the co-hosts of The People's Pharmacy, which you hear every Saturday here on the Ideas Network at 6 in the morning and 2 in the afternoon. They are authors of several books, including Best Choices from the People's Pharmacy. They are talking with us about our health, obviously, and maybe helping us get a head start on our New Year's resolutions for healthier lifestyles. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Veronica Rickard is in for Kathleen Dunn coming up after 9 o'clock. Veronica will talk about seasonal affective disorder with Dr. Norman Rosenthal. With less daylight and lower temperatures, many of us experience symptoms of SAD or seasonal affective disorder. We'll find out how to identify it and resources to help us cope with SAD. We're talking about our health and getting some advice from the People's Pharmacy creators and co-hosts, Joe and Terry Graydon. Joe, a pharmacologist, and Terry, a medical anthropologist. They are authors and writers of columns. Their latest book is Best Choices from the People's Pharmacy. And our next caller is Brian in Ashland. Hi, Brian. You're on the air.
Yes, good morning. I recently read about using sertol and grape juice in combination to relieve arthritis symptoms. I'm a total skeptic. I had what the doctor had diagnosed some arthritis in my foot, and it was my foot felt like it was broken. I'd been taking Naprosyn for 4 weeks, could not put weight on the ball of my foot. Sunday night, I went and got some of the sertol and grape juice, 2 teaspoons. Of sertol and 3 ounces of grape juice. The next morning, not expecting anything, I can could walk on my foot without pain. There's still some there, but it's
You've heard this before, haven't you, Terry?
Well, we have, and like Brian, we're skeptical because there's no good explanation for it. But in fact, we have heard from a lot of people who have tried the remedy that Brian tried and gotten good results from it.
We've been writing about this, Brian, for, oh, good gracious, Terry, about 10 years. So you probably found out about it indirectly from us at some point or another, and it kind of evolved because we started talking about gin-soaked golden raisins about 15 years ago, and then for arthritis pain. And then somebody said, "Well, you know, the arthritis, the gin-soaked raisins, the gin raisin remedy, as some people call it, that didn't work for me. But I tried the sertol and grape juice, and you guys ought to talk about it because it works really well. And some people are just thrilled with the results. We don't know why, as Terry said. Maybe there's something in the grapes. There is resveratrol that has anti-inflammatory activity. The serto, C-E-R-T-O, is the thickener in jams and jellies. And
it's a liquid pectin.
We've been talking about this with you, Joy, for several years now. And, you know, it might even lower cholesterol because plant pectin, which is what serto is, does have the ability, it's a fiber, to lower cholesterol a bit. And as far as we can tell, if it might help and it won't hurt, why not give it a try? It's affordable. And the other thing that's kind of cool is that we love skeptics, especially skeptics like Brian, who go, you know, I don't think that's going to work. But then they try it, and it does. Just like the soap under the bottom sheet for leg cramps. You know, most people go, that's the silliest thing you guys have ever talked about. I didn't think it could possibly do a thing for my leg cramps.
And yet, they put the soap under the bottom sheet, you know, because what's it going to cost you? There's no side effects either. And most of the time, in fact, everyone we've heard from, with just a couple of exceptions, has said, well, I didn't believe it, but I haven't had any cramps.
Yeah, that's the beauty of these home remedies is they don't really cost much or anything, and they're not going to hurt you, right?
Well, that's our goal. Mm-hmm. That's our hope. I mean, you know, obviously some people are going to be allergic to, you know, anything under the sun.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And so we always worry about the outlier, the person who says, you know, I tried the turmeric for my arthritis or my psoriasis. That's the yellow spice and yellow mustard. And I got an allergic rash. Well, yeah, it happens.
Yes.
Some people are allergic to turmeric. But a lot of people tell us it, too, is effective against arthritis pain.
But most people are not going to select a soap they're allergic to put under their bottom sheet.
So the Sirtol grape juice thing do you have it memorized? You just sprinkle some Sirtol in a glass of orange juice, or is there a specific?
Well, because it's liquid, it actually, Brian's got the, there are several possible formulas, but Brian's got the right formula. It is measured out in teaspoons or tablespoons because it is this liquid goo.
Mm.
And 2 teaspoons and 3 ounces of grape juice 3 times a day is one way to go. Another way is to put 2 tablespoons and 8 ounces of grape juice and drink that just once a day.
Well, Brian, thanks very much.
Well, thank you.
Yeah, appreciate you passing along your success with that. Yes, and I've heard that people say that soap under the sheet did help them with their leg cramps. And is it also for restless leg syndrome?
We have heard that people have had relief from their restless legs with this weird soap remedy. And once again, there's no explanation that we have come across or can even think of. But we have definitely heard this from people.
Now, Terry, explain the difference between leg cramps and restless leg syndrome, because I think a lot of people get confused.
Well, a leg cramp is when the muscle itself tightens up and it causes excruciating pain. Anyone who's ever had a Charlie horse knows what a leg cramp is. And it does not, a Charlie horse is in the calf of the leg. But people do get cramps in their thighs or in the big muscle that runs down the front of the leg. And those are equally painful, even though they're not called Charlie horses. Restless legs is quite different. It actually isn't painful, but it is extremely disruptive, and it can really mess up people's ability to get a good night's sleep. Just as you're drifting off to sleep, you get the urge that you've got to move those legs. Just got to move them. You know, you can't not move them. And so you sort of move your legs. You may kick your bed partner by accident. And you certainly wake yourself up when you move those legs. And it's really hard to sleep.
It's described as a kind of creepy, crawly feeling underneath the skin. And for people who have ever had RLS, as it's abbreviated, it is very disruptive. This is especially true when you go on a long flight, like a transatlantic flight, where you're going to be in an airplane for 6, 8, 10 hours. And one woman even shaved some soap, put it in her socks, of all things, and said that her restless leg syndrome was bearable on this long flight. Up until then, she had always suffered unbearably when she had to be in
an airplane. Very creative.
Her knee socks with these lumps of soap in probably got a second look from security, but oh well.
Didn't set off the alarms.
Nope.
Brian in La Crosse, hi, you're on the air.
First of all, I'd like to thank you for that. But what's the recipe? I mean, what kind of soap do you use for restless leg? That's something that my mom has.
Just about any kind except Dove. Apparently, people tell us Dove doesn't work as well. It doesn't have enough soap in it, but Ivory soap, Dial soap, you know, any kind of soap, Irish Spring, whatever you use.
It's funny. People will ask, you put a bar of soap in between the mattress and the sheet. Some people are like, well, what do you mean? Put it under the bed? Or, you know, and is it wrapped or unwrapped?
Unwrapped,
mm-hmm.
and in between the, if you're using a mattress pad on top of your mattress, put the soap on top of the mattress pad, put the bottom sheet over the top of the soap.
Okay.
And, you know, it's so interesting that it apparently wears off after a while. You know, again, we have no science here, but people tell us about 6 to 8 weeks is the length of time that you get benefit from a bar of soap.
So then you need to unwrap a new bar and replace it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, this is what we hear. We can't We can't corroborate it. Neither of us, fortunately, actually has restless legs, so we haven't tried it for that. I do have a bar of soap under the bottom sheet at this point in time because I did have a really nasty leg cramp about a month ago, and I haven't had any
there
since.
We go. Brian, you didn't call about that, though, right?
No, no. My dad's in the later stages of cardiopulmonary fibrosis, and basically he's running out of energy and breath every time he takes, 10 steps. Mm. And, of course, especially going upstairs or something like that is extremely hard on him. And I was wondering, basically, if that Elkhorn,
The L-carnitine might be worth a try. Let me spell it for you. It's L-carnitine. It is a dietary supplement. I think it's an amino acid. And I would definitely check in with his doctor first, but as far as I know, it should not be a problem. It might be worth a try. It may not do any good.
Yeah. Let me go to another caller, and good luck to you. Vicki in Madison. Hi, Vicki.
Good morning.
Morning.
My question is, my tongue burns almost all the time, and sometimes my gums are inflamed and my cheeks, too. And I've gone to doctors and dentists and whoever, and nobody seems to know anything about this.
A burning sensation?
Actually, yeah, there's a name for this, Terry. What is it, burning tongue syndrome or something like that?
Well, that sounds plausible anyway. And unfortunately, Vicki, there are a lot of people in your situation and not a lot of wonderful treatments for it.
No, but there is one thing we'd like to have you checked out for, and that is a vitamin B deficiency,
B12
in particular. Now, there's no proof that your particular problem is associated with B12 deficiency, but as people get older, vitamin B12 can be low, just like vitamin D, especially in Wisconsin this time of year, can be low. And we have really changed our recommendations, especially with vitamin D. We're recommending anywhere from 1 to 2,000 international units of vitamin D, especially this time of year. But vitamin B12, if you could get adequate levels in the event that you are deficient, that might help a little bit with that burning tongue. Good luck, Vicki.
Yeah, Vicki, good luck. Before we run out of time, I did want to touch base with you on colds and help for people with colds, especially children, since didn't they take a bunch of cold medicine off the drugstore shelves that were intended for kids?
Yes, they have taken a few of them off. The ones that were targeted specifically at little kids under 2 years old, so babies. Babies should never get this kind of medicine unless, of course, a doctor has prescribed it, which they hardly ever do.
And I must tell you, Joy, we're not that thrilled with the cough and cold remedies that are available for kids from 2 to 6. Mm-hmm. There's not much evidence that they work either.
Now, there isn't a lot you can do to keep your child from getting a cold, but you can help prevent yourself from getting a cold by being very, very fastidious about hand washing.
Yeah, we are told over and over again that the best way to avoid the cold or the flu this season is just wash your hands obsessively.
Mm-hmm.
But of course, then they're going to dry out, and we'll always tell people to consider one of the underwriters of the People's Pharmacy. And
Utter
cream. Utterly smooth Utter cream.
Absolutely.
Because it's a great moisturizer. And having grown up on a dairy farm myself, I can attest to the fact that cow's udder do get chapped, and these moisturizers are great. But there are some home remedies and dietary supplements that we do recommend if you do come down with a cold, and that would be Andrographis paniculata. It's a Chinese herb.
It is a Chinese herb, and there actually are double-blind placebo-controlled trials showing that it can cut the duration of the cold and reduce the severity of the symptoms. And we don't have any prescription drugs that will do that. So you want to look for this in a possibly in a drug called Kanjiang. It's not a drug. It's sold as a dietary
supplement. It's K-A-N-J-A-N-G, Kanjiang. And if you search the web, you'll find it. In addition to that, when a child has a nasty cough at night, we've mentioned this on your show before, and it sounds, again, kind of silly, but a dab of Vicks Vapor Rub, not on the chest, not under the nose, but on the soles of the feet. It seems to help. Again, we don't know why.
That
now,
Vicks is really...
Put this, The Vicks is a multi-purpose remedy. It's useful for so many things. You don't want to put it on the feet of a very small infant, but once they get to be, I don't know, a little bit older, six or eight months, a year or two, then it's just fine.
And put on some socks to keep the sheets from getting too greasy.
Now, for an adult who has a cough, perhaps during the middle of the day, we think thyme tea is just terrific. And, of course, chicken soup is a time-honored cold remedy that does, in fact, have some benefits.
Thyme tea is, as opposed to ginger tea. I heard ginger tea. Yeah.
Well, ginger tea also is nice and can help ease a cough and can really help ease that congestion. The thyme seems to also be useful against cough.
Back to Vicks. Someone, our non-commercial public radio audience here wants to know if we're trying to advertise for Vicks. Is this any kind of mentholated rub that will work, or does it have to be Vicks?
Oh. You know, it might be that any mentholated rub would work because menthol does have some anti-cough and we just don't know. People should try it and let us know.
Well, you know, you can now buy, I'm almost certain, house brand.
Like generic.
Type
Vicks.
Products, yeah. Generic, yeah. Mm-hmm. And that should work just fine. You know, we're not in bed, we promise, with the pharmaceutical industry or the makers of Vicks Vapor.
Vicks has got a few things in it besides the menthol. It's got some thymol, it's got some cedar leaf oil and a bunch of other things. And, you know, they may or may not be relevant.
I'll try to get another call in before we're done. Sally in Prescott, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, I set my alarm at 6 o'clock on Saturday morning just to hear this wonderful show.
It's a great show.
My daughter, who's 50 years old, when she smiles, gets an excruciating pain in the back of her left ear that radiates to the top of her head. Have you ever heard of that?
No, I have
We've
to say we
not,
have not.
And, you know, whenever somebody gets an excruciating pain in their head, we always suggest a neurologist appointment because just to rule out something like temporomandibular joint pain or maybe even something more serious. So, you know, maybe she should just be on the safe side for 2008. Check in with a neurologist. Make sure there's nothing serious.
Well, it's been a great show as usual, Joe and Terry Graydon. We only have a minute to go. Do you either of you have a Happy New Year tip for us in terms of, a health tip?
Well, I am so excited about my Christmas present that Joe gave me, and my resolution is to use it every day in 2008.
What is
it? And that is a pedometer to count steps, and my goal is to get to 10,000 steps every day.
Well, good luck with that. That'll be good. What about you, Joe?
Same thing, because when I bought Terry her Christmas present, I bought one for myself. And, you know, I can't think of anything better than more exercise in 2008.
Well, you can get a lot more walking done in North Carolina than we can today in Wisconsin, but I suppose there's always the mall, right? Thanks.
Right.
Thank you very much for being with us.
Thank you, Joy. Good luck and stay healthy for 2008.
Thanks, and we'll hear you on the radio every Saturday at 6 a.m. and again at 2 p.m. The People's Pharmacy. Joe and Terry Graydon, our guests this hour. Thanks to Carmen Jackson and to Brittany DeAnda for producing this program. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network.